Welcome to the Faith Bridge Men's Podcast. This teaching was recorded live on October 29th, 2024, taught by Faith Bridge Men's Pastor Danny Hannon. Welcome to week 9 of our Embrace the Frontier series, a study on God's covenants.
Hey, before I kick off, I actually want to introduce somebody to you, very special to me and a couple guys in this room. Augustine, where are you, brother? There he is. Can you stand up for us? I want y'all to give this man a hand. He does not, I know you're going, why are we clapping for this guy? He doesn't want attention, but y'all, that is a warrior for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is a missionary in Paris. That is his whole focus, is spreading the gospel on the streets of Paris. All right, that's a work there, isn't it, brother? That's a job right there. So thank you. Anyways, he's in town. He's with World Team. James and I, he's at James Steve's table. He and I went and we got to know him in 2016. Man, I can't believe it's been 8 years. We've known him when we took a men's, see, I'm telling you, men's mission trips are awesome. That was one where we built a house for a guy, and then we got to watch the Tour de France. Like, it was awesome, but we got to hang out a whole week with him. So, anyways, just wanted to recognize him. He's in town. So, with that, man, I am, again, really excited for this word. Let me pray for us, and then we'll jump in. Father, I thank you so much for this time. I thank you for what you're going to do in this space, and I thank you for this teaching. Father, right now, I pray that I would get out of your way, Lord, that the words that fall from my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, for you are my strength and my redeemer. Father, we love you, we trust you, move in this place. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to take you to Psalms 136 real quick. You know, if you want to turn to it, great. If not, it is okay if I can find it. Good. There we go. I had it. Here we are. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Guys, Psalm 136 is 26 verses, and every single verse ends with his steadfast love endures forever. I hope you guys have seen through this semester, through the series of the covenants, one thing should have stood out to you as we gradually got to this point, here we are tonight, and that is that it is all about the love of God. This whole thing is about the love of God, right? So I wanted to read Psalms just simply to say, because his steadfast love endures forever. So where did we start? Right, 8 weeks ago, we start with Adam, the creation of man. Man, can you guys believe it's only been 8 weeks since we've been created? Man, it's like, man, we age really well, right? Seems like yesterday, right? Anyways, yeah. So 8 weeks ago, we started with Adam, the creation of humanity, right? His perfect creation in the perfect place in the presence of God. And what do we do? What does Adam do? He rejects the relationship with God for the fruit. Right? He wanted the fruit. And unfortunately, humanity follows after him. We were born in the flesh, born of Adam, which means we follow his suit. It's a picture of what it is to reject God. We want our way. We want our nature. We want the fruit of the world over a relationship with him. But see, he is a good father, right? Amen? He's a great father. The gift of fatherhood is a great blessing that comes to us. So you can only imagine what it must have been like for, if I'm a dad of three little girls and one of those girls rejects me coming from my flesh, what I wouldn't do to draw them back to me. So imagine God of the universe, the very thing that was made in his image, rejecting him, right? But like a good dad, you don't burn down the house and start with human 2.0. No, what he says, he's like, okay, you're not going to understand this. You're not going to realize this, but I am going to build a bridge back to me, but it's not going to be you that crosses this bridge. You made the chasm in your choice, but I'm going to build the bridge, and I'm going to be the one to cross it. You're not going to understand it now, but just hang in there with me. So that's where we see this whole covenant series is a redemption plan. It has been one great plan of God getting us to this moment right now. But it started with, first, you have the fall, right? Man falls. Then God says, okay, here we go. This is how we're going to get you back to me because I love you too much. So it starts with Noah, right? Humans start to grow. We start to prosper. Then all of a sudden, it is just all evil everywhere except for Noah. Talk about a lonely place to be. So what does he do? He says, I'm going to start over with you. He doesn't wipe out all of humanity. He says, I'm going to start over with you. Okay? And so he makes a covenant with him. He wipes the earth of all evil, and he starts with Noah. Right? And then Noah starts picking up again, right? The humans start to repopulate, and now it's time for the covenant with Abraham, right? And now what we see is that he's saying, you are going to bring my name into the world. You are going to be my chosen people. I am going to give you a land. I'm going to give you a place. And you are going to bring my name, and I'm going to make many heirs of you, and you are going to be the blessing to all nations. But it's going to be me that does it, right? This is God saying. So he makes a covenant with Abraham. Then we move into Moses. Now, you know, you have Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all these descendants. I know I'm moving fast. We're covering a lot of Old Testament that gets right here. But so it's picking up steam, right? And now they're in Egypt. And now there's millions of them. And all of a sudden, they are all now in captivity. And God's like, okay, I got to get you out of here. But here's the thing. To deal with the Mosaic covenant, it was saying, now look, to be an heir of Abraham, I'm going to give you my law. This is what it should look like for you to be a child of mine. This is what you're supposed to look like. This is how you're supposed to act. And when you screw it up, this is what you have to do to bridge that separation. Blood must be spilt. You need a sacrifice. There has to be a sacrifice. Now, we fast forward, we get to David. We heard David last time, right? The everlasting kingdom. The promised Messiah, the dynasty of David to reign forever. But a Messiah was coming, a new king was coming. All right, so here's where we're at. That's where we're going to kick off tonight. But see, here's the thing is all of these covenants that are building to this point, like God is getting more and more and more and more bigger to the world, and now it's time. Now he's got to let his people know. Why? Because now it's been 390 years is where we're going to pick up with this passage. Okay, where there's been the division of the kingdom. So David's reign ended in 970 BC. Okay, that's when Solomon took over. It was only David and Solomon that were the two kings that kept the kingdom together, Judah and Israel. But after Solomon, it splits in 930 BC, and then they never came back together. And then you get all these kings that are just screwing it up and constantly screwing up. And what you're finding, what we're finding out now, is that the people of God, the heirs of Abraham, the children of God, are looking more and more like children of the world. You can't even tell the difference, right? And now, here's where the stage is set, because Nebuchadnezzar is moving in. Who's heard of Nebuchadnezzar, right? Like, yeah, this is where, if you're new to this story, this is where the Israelites are about to be taken captive and exiled into Babylon, okay? They're being taken away from Jerusalem. The kingdom is going to be annihilated, and it's now just the people, but they're going to be scattered. Okay, and now they're enslaved. They are never again, once they get taken into captivity, never again will they be a self-ruling nation. They will constantly be under somebody else's rule. Okay, so now here we are around 590 BC, 600 BC, somewhere around there. This is where we're going to pick up, and this is what I love, because God says, okay, now's the time. So he speaks to his prophet Jeremiah, and he says, this is what I want you to say. All right, Jeremiah 31, 31, it starts. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day that I took them out by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. You see what he just said there? Did y'all catch that? A new covenant is coming. A new covenant. So then you should be asking yourself, going, okay, if there's a new, there's got to be an old, right? If there's a new, there's an old. So what old is he talking about? Is there going to be one that's like we get rid of? Are we getting rid of all four of these guys? Is like Abraham and David and Noah, they're just all gone? Is there one specific? Is he getting rid of it? Is it to be replaced? These are questions that we should wrestle as we go through this. But specifically what we see is which one did he call out? Which one did he call out? The land of Egypt, verse 32. Land of Egypt, who was that? Moses, right. So he's saying, that's the one I want y'all to hone in on. That's the old covenant, okay? That's what you need to see here. And remember, what was What was that covenant he gave him? He said, this is the Mosaic law. It's the standard. But guess what? You couldn't live up to it. He just says that. He goes that they broke the covenant they broke. You couldn't live up to it. So now I'm going to make a new covenant. So what was the purpose of the new covenant? The new way to become a child of God. It's a new way. Remember, the Mosaic law was God saying, this is what heirs of Abraham look like. This is what you are to look like, to act, to behave, to think, all these things. This is what you should look like. That way you become an heir of Abraham. Now he's saying, you broke it. You couldn't keep up with it. You couldn't live up to this standard, so I will make a new covenant and do something entirely different. So the new is to say, get rid of this. I have a new way for you to become a child of God. And this is where we pick it up. In verse 33 of that same section, the best part, here we go. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. Here we go. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then it concludes the same section. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Did y'all see that? No longer are we under the condemnation of the law. No longer am I trying to strive and achieve something. I got to work out my salvation. He's saying, I'm going to put it inside of you. I'm going to write it on your heart. Well, what does that look like? How does that happen? But this is that moment where you're going, well, if he's going to write it within me and I'm going to be set free, then why didn't we start there? Anybody have that thought? Like, wait a second, why did we have the law if inevitably we were going to get to this point and Jesus was going to do his work on the cross and we were going to have the new covenant? And like, why didn't we start there? Like, why couldn't we do that? Why did the people of Israel have to go through and living under the condemnation of the law? So then we ask ourselves, then what's the purpose of the old covenant? The terms and expectations had to be established. God had to set the terms and the expectation of what he expects, of what we should look like, so that we know how to move forward. Because here's the thing, God is saying, this is what I expect, this is who I am, this is what you need to be, and when you can't, blood must be spilt to mend that, when you fail, because sin separates you. So therefore, a sacrifice must be paid in order to eliminate separation. Separation requires sacrifice. Remember that. Separation requires a sacrifice. And here's the thing, guys. So why did he have to set this expectation? What is he building up for? What's happening? Here's the thing. Think about this. If the weight of the law was not so heavy and the cost of the sin not so great, then Christ's sacrifice would be worthless. There'd be no point. If we did not know what it was to have this burden sitting on us, we wouldn't know what freedom is like. We wouldn't know what that tastes like, what that feels like. So he shows us, this is what's expected, yet you can't live like this, so I give you another option. I give you a new way. Because it was the law that revealed how holy God is, how broken we are, how big that gap is. Like, it drives me nuts sometimes when you hear people like, you know, it's like, you ever hear those guys talk about, oh, you know, my priorities are God, family, country. No, God and everything else is not even in the same room. Like, it's God, then everything else. Like, there's no, like, close 1, 2, 3. Like, it doesn't work that way. So that gap is huge. When you consider the God of the universe, guys, we have some brass ones to just go, oh, yeah, you know, it's like we're going to work. I mean, it's like to just take for granted how holy God is. That's what I hope you guys are understanding. Like, for this to be so impactful, such a powerful new covenant, you have to appreciate just how holy God is. You got to start there. You've got to see that. So the gap is huge. And then we realize this is why so badly we need a Messiah. That's why he was building up to that moment with David and then promising the Messiah to come, the king to rule forever, a new David where his throne would be established and no one could destroy it. No one can undermine it. It is everlasting throne. So this is that moment in the movie where it's like, don't pause now. Like, we're just getting there. We're just getting to that point. Like, any of you dads, you ever had that moment where, like, you're watching a movie and it's like, there's this moment you're like, oh, I hate, what is going on here? And all your kids, when they're like, wait, I have a question. And what do you dads say? Finish the movie, right? Watch the movie. Like, just stop. Like, my whole family does that. It drives me nuts. Anyways, this is not the place to stop because we're just building. Because what is God saying? He's saying, remember, blood must be spilt. Separation requires sacrifice. But here's the best part. He's saying, but it's not going to be the blood of an animal. I'm about to blow your mind. It's going to be my blood. I'm going to be the one to sacrifice myself. Okay, so we're building up. We're building up to this moment. And this is where we get to that Last Supper moment, right? In Matthew 26, 28, you see, you got to remember, Jesus has been born. And what happened at his birth? That's when we hear the angel go to Joseph. And what does he say? Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. That's odd that he would say that. He says that because he's making sure everyone knows this is the ancestor of David. The promised Messiah is here, is coming, right? So then he starts his ministry when he's baptized. What happens at baptism? The descension of the Holy Spirit upon him. Now he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He gets to work. Jesus is doing his ministry. He is living according to the Father's will. Then we see that last moment in the garden. What happens? It's like days or moments before he's going to be crucified. He's praying intensely. Blood is coming from his sweat. And what is he saying? Father, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. All of it was him stepping in and just feeling the intensity of living in this moment. And then that's when, backing up from that moment, is when he's having his final meal with his disciples. And what does Jesus say? He's breaking the bread and he gives the cup and he says, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. The blood of the new covenant. He's saying, my blood will be shed. So now, the question is no longer, what is the new covenant? Now the question needs to be, who is the new covenant? Not what, but who. And you know who that is? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Going back to those verses, what did he tell Jeremiah? He said, I will put my law within them, and I will put it on their hearts. That's an interesting phrase. That's an interesting way. What does that mean to have it like coded into my DNA? Like, what does that mean? I don't understand that. But that's what he's saying. Like, put it back on my heart. Put it in my heart. It will be in us. What does that mean? But then here's the best part. At the same time, this, like, again, we're talking like 590 BC. At the same time that Jeremiah is receiving these words, in another region, there's another prophet named Ezekiel who's receiving a very similar message from God. And this is what it says. And this is in Ezekiel 36, 26, 27. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. Sean, can you throw that up for me? That should have been the one. And I will put my, is it not there? Oh, somebody's killing me. And I will put my spirit within them. That's what it says. Let me say that again. I will put my, capital S, spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and to obey my rules. Did y'all see what just happened there? He's telling Jeremiah, I'm going to write my law on your heart. I'm going to put it within you. And then he's telling Ezekiel, make sure they know this, that I will put my spirit. So what is he saying? Remember when Jesus said this? When they challenged him, he said, I am the law of Moses. So now, all of a sudden, it's coming to a head because the law is no longer something that we have to try to learn and we have to try to live by. In Christ, he is the law. So when the Holy Spirit falls on you, it is coded into your DNA. It is in you. You are living with his spirit inside of you. But there's a catch. There's a catch. Because we go back to this moment where we remember that separation requires sacrifice. Right? Christ's sacrifice is everlasting. Okay? So there's got to be a choice that's going to be coming to y'all. But as we start to wrap up, this I want to make sure you understand, is that Jesus is now in his final moments, and he's saying that this is my blood. And so on the cross, what are his final words that we see in Luke? He says, "Father, into my hands I commit my spirit." And with that, he breathed his last. And the veil was torn. The separation was gone. The bridge had been made, right? Now the Holy Spirit was coming to be put within us, right? Are y'all catching that? And this is the best part, because now we look at all these other covenants. You go all the way back to the beginning. Christ is now the fulfiller of the Davidic covenant, where he's the true king of an everlasting kingdom. No one can destroy his kingdom. No thing on earth can destroy that kingdom. Christ now became the fulfiller of the Mosaic law because he is the law. This is how he is. This is his nature. All the things put forth said, this is who I am. I am the law. Christ became the fulfiller of the Abrahamic covenant, saying, I am a blessing to all nations. I am the blessing to all nations. And then Christ was the fulfiller of Noah, who washed all sins away, right? New life in him. And then ultimately, for us, the best part, back to Adam, it was Christ in the garden who chose the will of the Father. Unlike what Adam did, Christ chose relationship. He said, I choose my Father who sent me. I choose his will. And by doing so, he now redeemed all of humanity back to God. So now, when we've stepped into faith in him, we go back to where it all began. We receive everlasting life. We receive the opportunity to now go back to the perfect place in the presence of God where it all began. Do you see the full picture now? It started with Adam, and he started building up to this point, and now God in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have fulfilled the new covenant. But here's where I get back to that catch. A gift must be received. A gift must be received. Otherwise, it's just a thing. Don't leave Christ on the cross. It has to be received. He's already done the work. You don't have to do anything. So this is the call that I have for you. Because in John chapter 1, verse 12, this is what we read. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh or will of man, but of God. Y'all see that, guys? So now this is the new frontier. And what is that? It's faith. Do you have faith? Do you believe? And have you received so that he can put his spirit within you so that you may now be a child of God? You need do nothing except receive what he's done. And now the new covenant is fulfilled within you because Christ has already done it. That's how he has completed this whole picture. And now all of us have been redeemed back to him. And when you receive that, guess what? Now for eternity, you get to be the perfect creation in the perfect place in the presence of God because of what Christ did. So do you believe? Do you receive? And are you ready to be a child of God? I know I am. I love being a child of God. Amen. All right, let me pray for us. Lord, thank you so much for this time and for this space. I thank you. Lord, we don't even know how to begin, but other than just as Brandon Lake wrote in that song, all I have for you is a hallelujah. There's nothing else that I can give you. You did your work. You did the thing that we could not. We no longer are we under that law. We are under your grace and freedom and new life in you, and you fulfilled it. And Father, all we have is a thank you. But Lord, I pray right now that these men who are hearing this, many of which have accepted, they've known this, they've stepped into new life, but maybe there's a few that this may be the first time they're hearing this, or it's all coming into a clearer, a little more clearer picture. Lord, I pray right now for my brothers who might be hearing this for the first time. And if this is one of you, if this is the first that it's making sense to you, and you've never truly said, I receive the gift of his spirit within me, I receive Christ, I believe in Christ. If this is the first time you've heard that and you want to accept that, Brothers, I can see you. Okay, everybody keep your eyes closed, but if this is your first time, please raise your hand. I want to see you if this is your first. All right, it means we have a couple. Perfect. Lord, I thank you for this brother, and I thank you for the new life that you're putting within him. Thank you for what you're doing, and I pray now, Lord, that he would step in to this new covenant and experience the hope and the joy through the everlasting life of you. Father, we love you and we praise you for all that you're doing. Lord, continue to move in this ministry and continue to move in each one of these men, that their homes may be blessed because they've surrendered to you and they've received this gift. Father, we love you. We trust you. It's in your mighty, precious name that we pray. Amen. All right. So guys, I know you see that there is communion elements on your table. Guys, it wouldn't be right to go through the new covenant and not celebrate communion together. Yeah? Y'all good with that? Y'all want to do it as a men's ministry? I love it. I love what this represents. So if you've ever been in the communion venue with myself or Josh or Wayne, whoever leads it, although these are not our fancy breads that Roberto gets for us, we got the Hawaiian bread. Hope you guys like Hawaiian bread. But anyways, I want to take a moment just to celebrate and do communion together. So as we've just discussed, we just realized that it was the night that Jesus was betrayed, he had his final meal with his disciples, right? And this is that moment when he's stepping into them and he's preparing for this moment. And he says, he takes the bread and he gives thanks over it and he breaks it. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, take and eat and do this in remembrance of me, for this is my body that has been broken for you. My body broken for you. And likewise, afterwards, he then took the cup. He first gave thanks over it to the Father. And then he gave it to his disciples. And he said, take and drink and do so in remembrance of me. For this is my blood of the new covenant shed for the forgiveness of sins. The everlasting forgiveness of sins can never be undone. So brothers, I want to encourage you. Likewise, we do this to remember what Christ did for us. This is not my table. This is not Men of Faith Ridge's table. This is not Faith Ridge's table. This is Christ's table. The elements on your table right now is Christ's elements, not mine. So I want to invite you to partake in this. And what you'll do, as we've done in the past, is you'll take just a piece of the bread from the plate. You'll dip it into the cup, and then you'll partake from there. And I want to encourage you guys just to find time to pray as a table. Pray as your group, whatever it may be. Just take a moment to rest in this song. Let me pray for us, and then y'all partake at your own pace. Father, I thank you so much again for this moment. Be with us now. Fill this time and let us feel your presence as we receive the gift that you've given us. We love you. We trust you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.